Looking in the lectionary, excuse me, I have a throat. I came across a hymn which I've never seen before. I think it's fairly new, but it's really relevant to Jesus being all in all. There are four verses, and I'm going to tell you about each verse in my own way, and then read the verse. Many years ago, when I was pastor of a church in North London, I had a call from somebody in central London. It was a lady who said her husband was very ill. He was a US diplomat. And she said, could I go and pray with them? And I'm not sure how they obtained my name, but I went. Before I set out, and during the drive to him, and afterwards, I prayed for Jesus to give me understanding and words and ability to meet that man's need. When I arrived there, I was told that he had terminal cancer with a few months to live. I could see that he was desperate. He was flattened. He was questioning, physically, mentally, and spiritually down. He was seeking comfort. And throughout that experience, I really felt for that man. He was desperate. And the first verse of this hymn I discovered says, Christ be in my understanding. Christ be in my words and deeds. Christ be where my footsteps take me. Christ be provider of my needs. Before I read verse 2, at the start of each day we should give thanks and ask our Lord to be with us during that day. I say that, but quite often I forget. We should ask to see his light and presence in all the people you meet, because the light of Jesus is in there somewhere. Pray for them, and even for those you just almost pass by without thinking. There's a hymn that says, look for the beautiful, look for the true. And that's what we need to do in those people we meet each day. We should try to see other people as Christ sees them. And the verse is, Christ be in my waking moments, at the dawn of each new day. May I see the light of your presence shining in those I meet today. The next verse, my comments are, busy lives can crowd out Jesus, but he wants to be part of our response to the challenges we meet. As I said about the previous verse, I quoted, look for the beautiful, look for the true. In every time and place, there is an open invitation to you and others to include Jesus in, not shut him out. There are signs of wonderful things in each time and place. The verse is, Christ be in my busy living, in the challenges I face. May I look for signs of your wonder in each time and place. And the last verse, my comments are, Jesus was often exhausted, spent, and needing a place to recuperate. He would often go off by himself to seek renewal with his Heavenly Father. He will do the same for us. He understands our mixed emotions, our varying moods, our moments of rebellion, our ups and downs. He understands that, as we read, we see through a glass darkly. We think we see clearly, but in reality, our vision is impaired by many things. But Jesus promised us that he would be with us in all of the ups and downs. His parting words to his disciples in one of the Gospels were, "I am with you always." He says the same things to us. In everything that we go through, Jesus is all in all. He is with us. All we have to do is ask. The last verse is, "Christ, be in our time of resting, thankful for your gifts bestowed. Grant us peace, our souls replenish, as this day draws to a close." And that's the end of our day. I think most people have heard of the Bible Society. It's their mission to provide Bibles to as many people as they can, in as many countries as they can. This is another example of Jesus becoming all in all. It had a very simple start, it is said. The Bible Society, that is. Mary Jones was from a very poor family, which lived in Wales. She was born in 1784, so her effect is enormous, because here we are hearing her name some 250 years later. At the age of 8, she became interested in the Bible. In those days, Bibles written in Welsh, her native tongue, were very rare and very expensive. Even at the age of 8, she worked hard in her own time to earn money to save up for a Bible. She saved for 6 years until she had the money to pay for a Bible in Welsh. Just one Bible. She knew where she could get one. A minister some 26 miles away had Bibles in Welsh. So she started to walk to that village 26 miles away. And she walked barefooted because she had a good pair of shoes she didn't want to spoil. When she reached the minister, he sadly told her they were all sold, they'd all gone. Can you imagine what that would feel like? Anyway, he took pity on her and he found her accommodation in another house until a new supply came in. And then, when it did, he was pleased to give her or sell her her Bible, and he gave her two others to give to someone else. And that small beginning apparently became the Bible Society. 2 centuries later, Anne was a soloist in a religious musical, would be the best term for it, and it was entitled Mary Jones's Bible. And there is one song in that which really strikes a chord, and I'm going to ask Kathy if she's able to play it.
To my feet and alive. feel afraid, think I've lost my way. Still, you're there right beside me. Nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please be near me to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Sign, and I will love you to the
Think about all the people who found that Jesus is all in all. Think about Zacchaeus. He's often ridiculed a bit. He was a tax gatherer, strike one. He was a crooked tax gatherer, strike two. And yet, Jesus called him down from his tree and changed him instantly. Think about the disciples who were fishing, and Jesus came along and very cheekily said, "You haven't caught anything. Throw your nets on the other side of the boat." I think their first reaction would be somewhat aggressive. He's this man telling us, who fished all our lives, to throw our nets on the other side. But they did it. And I'm thinking also of a man many years ago I knew, who was coincidentally Welsh, and when church ministers came in his front door, he went out the back. He did not want to be converted, in his own words. But yet he was. He was converted. And he became a very powerful and persuasive advocate for Christ. Think about all the many people in this congregation and wider who ask for prayers, ask us to pray for them when they are suffering great things or they are worried. And think how many times those people have been blessed. Scriptures tell us of Jesus involvement and love for so many people and how they responded. And I'm just going to quote a few more. If you can think of who they are, you are at liberty to shout out who they are. But if you don't, within a few seconds, I'll tell you. Who said, "Be it unto me according to your will"? Sorry, louder. Mary, the mother of Jesus, 16-year-old girl. The angel came and told her she was pregnant. That's quite something, isn't it? To say that. Who said, "Do whatever he tells you"? This is getting repetitious. Yes, Mary. Can you think of that? They were at a wedding feast, and the provider of the feast ran out of wine. That's absolutely sacrilegious in that society. But he ran out of wine, and Mary said to the servants, "Do whatever he says." Can you think what they might have thought when he said, "Fill up the pitchers and the jugs with water"? They must have thought, this is more than our jobs are worth. But they did it. And look what he did in response. So we have Zacchaeus, we have my friend Hugh, we have the fisherman, we have Mary. Jesus was all in all. This is slightly harder. Who said, "I have seen the salvation of Israel"? Ooh, that's tougher, isn't it? I won't show you up. I know you all know it, really. Who said it? No, Simeon. No, it was actually Simeon. He was a man who had been waiting for the Messiah to appear. And he had devoted his whole life to looking for Jesus. And when Jesus was taken as a child to the temple, he was inspired to know that he would be there. And he turned up and he saw Jesus as a child, and he said in praise, "He had seen the salvation of Israel. Now let me depart in peace." Here's a hard one. And if you're a fan of religious films, you might just get it. Who said, "Surely this was the Son of God"? A centurion. Very well done. That's actually, I'm amazed. I'll tell you a story about that. I said that in a sermon in the Midlands to some people, to a group that Anne and I worshipped with a lot in the past. And I asked that question, and somebody in the front row with a smile on his face said, "He was John Wayne." And I thought, he's winding me up. And I asked him to explain, and he said, in a certain film, like the Ten Commandments or one of those films, the centurion was played by John Wayne, a very young one. So he was right, but only a little bit. How about, "Did not our hearts burn within us"? Correct. What a learned bunch. That's brilliant. Yes, and it's just amazing that they didn't recognise him. Their eyes were shielded, as it were, but they knew him. As soon as he did that simple thing of breaking the bread and serving the wine. How about, "Were there not 10 of you"? The lepers? Yes. Who said, "Do not have anything to do with this just man"? I'll put you out of your misery. It was Pilate's wife. Who said, "Is it I"? The disciples at the Last Supper. They were told somebody was going to betray him. And they all said, "Is it I? Is it me? To whom did Jesus say, feed my lambs or feed my sheep? Peter. Now, as Ken mentioned a week or two ago, Jesus asked Peter to feed his lambs as a sign of forgiveness. He asked him three times. Peter had sinned and he had denied Christ three times. And I think that's Jesus' way of forgiving Peter and letting Peter know that every one of his sins were expunged by Christ saying, feed my lambs. Who said, and this is the last thing I will ask you, your faith has made you whole? I can't quite hear you mumbling. Yes, and who did he say it to? Not quite. It was the rich young man, a rich young ruler. He had everything. He came to Jesus. No, sorry, I've got the wrong one. I'm on the wrong line. Your faith is... Yes, okay, you win. You're one, you get one. I've read the wrong line. Anyway, well done. Consider the few examples I have given of Christ's interaction with such a variety of people. He really is, all in all. All in all to us, all in all to those people. There's another one I was talking about. I was going to talk about the thief on the cross. He forgave him. And that thief recognized Christ for whom he was. Just tremendous. And Christ can change people at snap. Or he can change people gradually. But he's all in all to all of us. Busyness, careers, homemaking, hobbies, they are all part of life. And they are all good things in themselves. But could they be so much better if we invite Christ to share them with us? A hymn says we struggle to be human. But not so much if we invite Jesus into our lives. He may even use adversity to make us strong. I wasn't going to say this, but I will. I have been ill, had been ill for a very long time. And Anne said to me recently, you used to occasionally say, why me, Lord? And even as I said that, I was thinking, why not me? He used my illness to make me stronger. Stronger in faith, stronger in my response. So when we're struggling, see it as a challenge to make yourself stronger. At all times, in all circumstances, he loves us. And if you haven't already understood what I'm saying, he is all in all to us at all times.